Without any further ado, Andrew, come on up. Preach the gospel, brother.
Thank you. I was thinking some of the wisest words ever spoken in church were, "Let's all stand and stretch." So I want to give you that opportunity now. If you want to stand and stretch, feel free. I know sometimes you see the little kids run out and you think, "Ooh, I'd like to go for a walk." I know sometimes I have, actually. All right, well, praise God. I want to thank Eric for, Eric and I were talking, and I said, you know, it would be 20 years, August 20th, since I got saved. And praise God, I said, and I'm still excited. And he said, great, well, you can preach that Sunday. So, great, here I am. So, praise God. Thank you, Eric, and thank you, Jesus, that I'm still excited. So, let's go to Luke chapter 15. I was reminded, I remember visiting my grandmother, and she had said how she went to a Baptist church one time, and this woman stand up and gave her testimony, the extended, uncut version. And my grandmother was just aghast. Oh, my God, how could she stand up there and say all those things? So I want to warn you, I'm going to tell the truth here. And this is real. This is life, you know. So praise God, my grandmother did go on and get saved. So praise God. Luke chapter 15, verse 1 through 7. Then all the tax collectors and sinners drew near to him to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes complained, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." So he spoke this parable to them, saying, "What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, saying to them, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost.' I say to you that likewise there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance." I'm going to continue. "Or what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? And when she has found it, she calls her friends and neighbors together, saying, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I lost.' Likewise, I say to you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents." Well, praise God. I visited a friend, a guy who used to work with me, actually, for me. And I go in, I say hello. And he says, "I got filled with the Holy Spirit last month. And this guy had no interest in Jesus whatsoever. And all of a sudden, he just wanted to talk about Jesus. And I thought, amen. And so here we're in Orleans Auto Supply. I'm saying, amen, praise God, that's great, God. Tell me more. And so he's saying, yeah, you know, I started going to church for like a year and a half because he got married. And he said, I just didn't get it. It didn't really do much. And he said, but I started going to this Bible study, and lo and behold, the lights went on. God dealt with me. I got saved, filled with the Holy Spirit. So praise God. So that was just, I took that as a confirmation that, you know what? Life can be hectic and not what we expect, but there is nothing like getting saved. There is joy in the presence of the angels of God when one sinner repents. So I wanted to share my testimony. So first and foremost, I grew up not going to church. So if I seem unchurchy, this is all I've learned in the past 20 years. So, but praise God. So I never grew up going to church. But one thing I do remember is growing up, there was a bookshelf in my bedroom, and as a little kid learning how to read, you suddenly take interest in the bookshelf, and I remember seeing a Holy Bible on the bookshelf. And I would have to walk by it every day. My bedroom was a long rectangle, and my bed was at one end, the doors at the other. So I'd walk by, and I saw the Holy Bible, and I thought, hey, I'm learning how to read. That's probably reading Green Eggs and Ham. But so I picked it down, and I tried to read it, and I could not make heads or tails of it. Put it back on the shelf, and I thought, when I'm older and I can understand, I'll read it. So time went by, and I don't know, maybe I was 10 years old or so, and I remember stopping one day, looking at the bookshelf, looking at the Bible, and thinking to myself, I don't want to pick it up because I'll find out what I'm doing wrong. And I never picked it up. And I never went to church, and nobody ever invited me to church. Life went on. I can remember talking to, I can remember some neighbors saying, well, what religion are you, as kids do? I remember thinking, I don't know. But I do know that I went to YMCA camp, so therefore I must be a Christian, because it stands for Young Men's Christian Association. But, you know, going to the Y camp does not make you a Christian. I just want you to know. Yes. Amen. So basically just growing up in this unchurched family, I just did what all the other neighborhood kids did. So I can... maybe 12, 13 years old, I started to get in trouble, I can remember the bad influence of Wayne Sadowski, who got me into trouble, started drinking beer at, you know, 12, 13 years old, smoking pot. And I know I look nice today, but I wasn't a nice 12 and 13-year-old kid, I can tell you. And then sometimes, you know, I look at kids who are 14, and I think, you know, when I was 14, and I'm not, again, I'm just telling it like it is. I can remember, and if you went to Vassar College, I'm sorry, because it was our habit to go to Vassar College and break into the locker room and steal all the money we could. That's just what we did. And we would go and we would get high, or we'd go to the movies, or we did whatever we wanted to do. But that was our only, we were too young to work. And so we had to do what we had to do. And now that's just, it's not Cape Cod, I know that, but it's actually, that's Poughkeepsie, New York, and that's the way that it was. So I lost interest in school. So here I am, 13, 14 years old, lost interest in school. My parents are pulling their hair out. I could care less. I was accountable to no one. I had certainly no fear of God in me. So I was deemed the person in need of supervision by the state of New York. I know that brings a chuckle. There's a couple of us here, I'm sure. I'm not the only one. And so my choice was reform school or rehab. And so I thought, well, I don't want to get in fights every day at reform school. I'll go to rehab. So here I was, 14 years old, ninth grade, in rehab. So I, just so you know, like, well, I wanted to read my report card. I've read it before, but it's a sobering reminder of, because, I mean, let's face it, you know what, I go to work every day now, I have a beautiful family, I have a beautiful house. If it wasn't for, without Jesus, this is a totally different story. It's because of Jesus I am who I am. Ninth grade, English. It should be noted here that I started at 9H, I remember, that's for honors. I got a 45. And then I went to 9A, which I think was just basic. 75, 65, 49. Final exam was a 59. Social studies, 60, 55, 60, 35, 55. Average of 53. Sequential math, 66, 50, 60, 20. Final exam, absent. I think I remember, like, not bothering for that one. Physical science, 72, 65. Physical science 2, I got a 90 somehow, and then I quickly dropped to a 60. Final exam, absent. Keyboard, 47, 82. And then advanced keyboard, 74, 67. Final credits, I got 0.62. credits my freshman year in high school. You're looking at that kid right here. It was after that my parents said, either reform school or rehab, son. And I said, okay, I'll go to rehab. So it was there. I had my 15th birthday in rehab. Like I was smoking pot, skipping school, and that's, you know what? That's all that I knew. That's all. I can remember being exposed to AA and NA in rehab and thinking, yeah, higher power, I believe in God. Sure, that's fine. I like God. He's good. I had no certainly sense of direction, no understanding of the Bible. I still didn't pick up a Bible, although no one even offered it to me. And I was thinking, actually, here I was in high school. Here's my report card. There's 1,000 kids in my high school. I would like to think that there was at least one Christian in that school. But you know what? Nobody ever told me about Jesus. Either they figured I wouldn't listen anyway, which is a possibility, or maybe there was no real Christian in that church, in that school. Anyway, I figured I'd throw that in because I see kids today, and I was reminded last Saturday, I was walking down Main Street Hyannis, and there was two or three kids in front of me, and one of them was obviously drunk, and he was swearing, and he was kind of stumbling, and so I was about 10 feet behind him. So as I'm walking, I'm catching the people now who have just passed this riffraff, and they're commenting to each other, like, did you hear that kid? My gosh. We've all seen those kids on Main Street. That was me. I was reminded, you know what, that was me. I can remember. I don't want to remember anymore. I remember getting saved. It was bad. It was bad, okay? These grades are real. I didn't make these up. This is somehow I got a certified transcript of my high school education. It was for a job or something. So it's real. You can look at it. Read it and weep if you want to. I got saved shortly thereafter, so let me get there. So I came to Cape Cod because coming out of rehab, coming out of that, I knew my friends had no positive influence on my life whatsoever. There was nothing good happening there. Thank God Patrick said, yeah, come on down. We've got a cottage behind our house, which was very funny because there was no running water in the cottage. But it was away from my parents. It was away from the kids that I knew, the trouble I was getting into. So I remember coming down, and my mom said to me, well, you know, he's going to talk to you about Jesus. And I thought, well, he could do a lot worse. I didn't care. I knew that Patrick was different. He was changed. Now, he's 7 years older than me. So, you know, I was 11. He was 18. He moved out. But, you know, at 11, I was still relatively okay. And I remember he's listening to The Doors. It's like, oh, The Doors. He must be a bad guy. And he's dressing all black. And he was dark. He was a very dark character. And then suddenly, he's saved. And he's got a wife and a kid, and I thought, well, good for him. He needed to get saved. Not that I had any idea. I didn't even comprehend, but all I know is it was better than what I was doing. And God drew me here. And I remember asking Pat, well, let's go to church. Let's go visit church. And we went and sang some songs, and people were nice, and I didn't really I didn't mind. It was first really time at church. And at the end, they said, okay, let's all bow our heads and close your eyes. And if you're not a Christian and you want to be, raise your hand. And I thought, that's nice. That's very generous of them to offer that. All right. I didn't raise my hand, but I kind of went on. And well, that's cool. And I remember meeting Patrick's and Rachel's friends, and they were kind and nice, and they weren't doing drugs, they weren't drinking, and one in particular, I remember they had just come back from a outreach to Jamaica, and I thought, wow, well, how were the waves, how was the beach, how was the food, and all they wanted to talk about was Jesus, and the meetings that they had, and oh, we prayed for this person and that person, and I was like, you mean you didn't go to the beach? Well, you should have seen one guy walked, he was crippled, and I could not comprehend. All I knew were these people were a little strange. They were very nice, but they were strange because all they wanted to do was talk about Jesus. It was during that time in visiting church a couple times because I really didn't have any friends yet, and so Patrick's friends became my friends, and I would go to church, and I was intrigued by these people. by these strange beings called Christians. I had never met a real Christian. Now, I know some of you may think that's strange, but there are more of me than there are of you. You know what I'm saying? There are more people who have no idea about Jesus than people who do. I mean, so I remember a guy was singing Purple Haze on the guitar, and instead of, you know, you get to the little hook line there, and instead of saying, excuse me, I don't even know what was it? Excuse me, well, I kissed the sky. He said, excuse me, give my Lord a try. I thought, man, these Christians are all right. They're pretty clever. They are pretty clever. But lo and behold, you get to the end of the service, and there's that altar call again. You know, the bow your heads if you're not a Christian you want to be. You know, the first time I thought, oh, that's kind of nice. The second time I thought, ooh, that's me. No, I still don't want to be a Christian. And then I remember like a third and a fourth time. And every time I would sit there, and it's just a very simple invitation. If you're not a Christian, nobody's looking around. Doesn't matter what anybody else thinks. This is between you and God. And if you're not a Christian and you want to be, raise your hand. And I wouldn't raise my hand. And one particular Saturday, this one particular guy would always come up to me and ask me, are you saved, man? Are you saved? I'm like, no, I'm not saved. And, well, why aren't you saved? And he was so excited about Jesus. Eric Jackson. He would not take no for an answer. What do you mean you're not saved? I mean, he's very sincere. What do you mean you're not saved? Well, I don't want to be saved. You don't want to be saved? No, I don't. I look back at it now and it's like, I was being honest. I wasn't going to play any games. I knew that I'm not going to raise my hand if I don't mean it. Well, lo and behold, one Saturday, he came up to me. I saw him coming. And it's funny because everyone else in church is there raising their hands, singing. And I'm trying to not really stand out because I know I'm going to stand out and he's going to see me and he's going to come over to me. So sure enough, he comes over to me. Are you saved, man? I got saved. Yes, I'm saved. I thought I would lie to him. So that's what I told him. Well, that just sent him off even more. Praise God, you got saved. Hallelujah. Well, you know, I didn't get saved. I just wanted him to go away. And I felt bad. Here I was now. I'm in church lying. I mean, that's even worse. You know, I mean, you can go smoke pot, but at least do it outside of church. And so here I am with my simple, limited spiritual understanding, but I knew lying in church was not a good thing. And I felt bad. I was hurting this guy's feelings, you know. I mean, I could tell he was sincere and authentic, just wanted me to be saved. But what came through those altar calls was a very clear-cut line that I knew I was not saying yes to Jesus. And there's a Rush song for you Rush fans. There's some in every crowd. And one of the lines says, if you choose not to decide, you still have made a choice. Now, why on earth would that Rush song be bopping through my head during altar call at church? Well, it was the Holy Spirit who took those lyrics and played them in my mind. And I remember thinking, you know what? You're right. By me not saying yes to Jesus, by default, I'm saying no to Jesus. And it was in that time, I remember, I had this little shack. It was not a cottage. It leaked in the rain, and there was no running water. It did have electricity. So when I came home from work, there was a little black and white TV in there. I could watch Oprah, which I did a couple times. And then I thought, you know what? Yeah. Oprah just wasn't doing it for me. But Patrick had given me a book called Evidence That Demands a Verdict by Josh McDowell. I highly recommend that to you, especially if you're not saved, because that's all I had to read. And I would read the book, and that was my first mistake. If you don't want to get saved, first of all, don't hang out with real Christians. Certainly, the other mistake I made I remember Patrick saying, well, you just need to pray that Jesus will make himself real to you. Boy, was that a mistake. Because I prayed and I meant it. I thought, that's a safe prayer. I mean, if he's going to make himself real, I'm all for that. And then don't expose yourself to the Bible. Don't expose yourself to the words of Jesus. Because I could tell when Patrick was talking to me, normal, and then he'd throw in some scriptures. And it wasn't because he would like switch his accent and give me a old English. I knew. I'm like, Jesus said that, didn't he? You know, I bet you Jesus said that. And he would give me scriptures like John 14:6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. And I thought, that's pretty narrow. Yeah. Matthew 7, enter by the narrow gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. You know, I recognize, I'm like, you know what, you guys are real Christians, and there's only a few of you around. This Jesus thing is real. And I wasn't ready for that. I was not ready. Matthew 10:39. He who finds his life will lose it, and he who loses his life for my sake will find it. Hebrews 9:27. And it is appointed for men to die once, but after this, the judgment. I knew I wasn't ready. And my loving brother also shared with me scriptures. Because one of my hopes, I thought, well, okay, I'm not going to get saved, but at least if I go to hell, all my friends will be there. Right? I mean, I've heard that before. I thought that way. Well, lo and behold, here comes Patrick pulling the wind out of my sails. He said, no, there's no party in hell. There's weeping, gnashing of teeth, outer darkness. The fire never goes out. You're all alone. I knew that not only did I not want to go to hell, but that I didn't belong in hell. Like, you know, I don't belong there. That is not a place where I belong. But to balance that, I also knew that I was saying no to Jesus. He was the way, the truth, and the life. I had no excuse. Another scripture that I used to think about. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. And certainly, I wanted some freedom. On the same token, I believe and I understand, when you are reading the Holy Scriptures, talking to Christians, you know what? You are giving the Holy Spirit something to work with. And the Holy Spirit was dealing with me. Jesus said he came to seek and save the lost. And it was during that season I felt God was seeking after me. But I just wasn't ready. I couldn't give up my sin. Coming out of A and NA, you know, I knew God was good. I believed in God. And then here's these Christians saying, yeah, he's good, but there's some sin in your life. Jesus just didn't die because he wanted to. He died because you need his forgiveness. Just the other day, I was behind these two women buying ice cream. And the one woman, it was kind of funny because they were a little older, and they're kind of wrestling, and the one woman paid the cashier, which caused the other woman to just throw up her hands. Oh, I can't believe you got to pay for me. Oh, why'd you do that? And the other woman's like, ha-ha, I paid for you. I thought, why did Jesus die for me? I didn't ask him to die. Why? Well, it's too late. He paid the price for you. He is the only way. No one comes to the Father but through Jesus. Well, you know what? It's too bad. He already paid the price. I had sin. It needed to be forgiven. He paid the price. So I was very aware at this time that, you know what, I'm saying no to Jesus. And I was in a small little car accident. It was right up on North Street, right in front of the Salvation Army, actually. And I was sitting on the curb, kind of waiting for the tow truck and stuff, just reflecting, like, this could have been worse. And here I am. And now, what on earth would... All I could think about was God. I'm not going to church. I'm partying. All I could think about is God. I'm like, man, this could have been worse. I could have died. And I'd be in hell right now, outer darkness. I don't belong there. And so I vowed that I would fasten my seatbelt and sit in the back seat because I thought it was safer back there, because bad things always happen in pairs, which it seems that sometimes bad things happen in triples, but for me at that time it happened in pairs. So I thought, well, I better be ready for the next one because I'm not ready to go meet Jesus. Other thing was that, I didn't, as far as being alive and in this day and age, I missed exploring the world with Christopher Columbus or the American Revolution or the Gold Rush or Jesus even being born. But as I understood the gospel, I realized I'm on the brink of the most exciting day in history, Jesus' return. And man, what a treat that'll be. What a joy to be on the right side. And I realized I'm not on the right side. I'm on the wrong side. What a ding-dong I will be if Jesus comes back and I'm Mr. Stubborn here, not giving up my sins. So I had all these thoughts weighing on me. And I was with a friend after this car accident, and we were shooting birds. We're teenage boys. What do you want us to do, you know? So we're shooting birds in his backyard. He got a new pellet gun or something, and he's loading it up. Yeah. Boom. It's just, and squirrels. I think we shot some squirrels. I'm sorry if there's bird lovers in here. But you have to aim it at something, and something moving is a lot more fun. So the bird fell to the ground, and it fell kind of near the guy's back porch. And so he shot it. Bang. And I'm kind of looking at it, and then the bird wouldn't die, and so I wasn't going to touch it, you know. So, bang, he shot it again, and the bird wouldn't die. And bang, shot it again. Bang, again, the bird won't die. Bang. Bang. Shot like 7-8 times. The bird's not dying. And it was right then, right there. I wasn't in church. I was in Katuit. That I felt, you know what? I didn't turn around, but I felt like Jesus was right behind me, saying, how that bird looks in your eyes is how you look in my eyes. You should have been dead a long time ago. And I didn't turn around, but I knew Jesus was real. It was Jesus showing me that. I could feel him. I knew it. All I could think was, Jesus is real. And the creator of heaven and earth is putting his finger on me right now, right here. And I was just, I was blown away. I left. I meant to say, I got to go. Didn't say bye. I remember just running in excitement that Jesus was real. He had made himself real to me. August, I think, 17th. I went home. I remember telling Rachel and Patrick. And Patrick said, well, you need to pray right now. And I thought, I can't pray here, not in your living room. I need to go to church. I need to raise my hand. So that's what I did. So I, before that, I thought, it was like on a Thursday or Friday. I thought, well, I got to go get all the sin out of me. So I had 2 nights to go sin. So that's what I did. I went out. I remember going, get high, but I couldn't tell anyone. I could not certainly tell anyone, hey, I'm going to get saved Sunday morning. God, I knew that God was dealing with me. He was not dealing like with a kid who shot the bird. He was not dealing with him. He was dealing with me. So here I am. I'm partying, and all I can think of is Jesus is real. And here I am getting all my sin out. Because there's another scripture. It talks about counting the cost. And to sum it up, it says don't finish it. I mean, don't start it if you can't finish it. So I thought, well, you know, if I'm going to start this Christian thing, let me be honest and get my sin out of me here. I wish it was that easy, believe me. I thought it was. Again, my simplistic little mind. So here I am partying, All I can think again is Jesus is real. Sunday morning comes. I remember Patrick. Come on, man. You're getting saved this morning. Remember? Oh, yeah. And I remember kind of stumbling out into the sunshine and thinking, I don't want to go to church. I've heard that same tone of voice in a few people. I don't want to go to church. I remember God, it was August 20th, 1989. Sun was shining. Standing in the driveway outside the little shack. And God again dealing with me, saying, it is now or never. So I went to church. And I didn't really care what he had to say. All I knew was I was looking forward to that altar call. And if I could just break the plane of the bowed heads with my raised hand. So he asked, you know, raise your hand if you're not a Christian and you want to be. This is between you and God. So I raised my hand, and he said, well, do one more thing. Come down to the front. Who cares what anybody thinks? And I thought, you're right. I don't care. I went down to the front and kneeled down to pray because that's what I saw other people do. I realized I don't even know what to pray. I don't know what to say. So lo and behold, my brother comes running down. Repeat this prayer. Oh, thank God. Good thinking. Yes, I can do that. And I remember him, the only time I hesitated was when he said, and I'll serve you all the days of my life. That was the one part I hesitated. I thought, wow, this is real. I mean, I made it this far. I'm at the altar. And now I'm going to pray something like that. But I prayed it. I said, you know what? I'm going to serve you, Jesus, all the days of my life. And when I stood up, I knew that Jesus had heard that prayer. I went back to my seat, I sat down, and I cried tears of joy. A couple things happened. I definitely felt lighter. That load of sin that I was carrying, which just seemed to get heavier and heavier, was off of my back. I was free, I was forgiven. I also, because I had read this scripture, it came alive to me. Likewise, I say to you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God, over one sinner who repents. I felt some of that joy that day. I knew, you know what? They're rejoicing right now in heaven over this sinner repenting. And then I also knew that someone else's prayers were answered that day. When I got saved. Now, I was not a churchgoer whatsoever, but I knew, you know what? Someone's prayers were answered today. I got saved. I don't know. A few people, I'm sure. But I do look forward to, when I get to heaven, to say thank you. You prayed for me to get saved. And Jesus sought me out. The other thing, I remember just being so grateful that I was forgiven, that I was angry towards my parents. I just thought, you know what? I was just angry. And that anger was gone. I mean, because I was forgiven, when you're truly forgiven, it's so easy to forgive other people. It puts it all into perspective. I knew, man, I'm forgiven. My sins, me, the liar, the thief, the sinner who deserves hell, who willfully rejected Jesus for a while, I'm forgiven. And man, what was the anger that I had was gone. In the past 20 years, I tell you, there is nothing like remembering the day you got saved, the day you said, you know what, yes to Jesus. It puts everything else into perspective. I mean, this guy who I bumped into this week, he was excited, which brought me back. And part of it, you know, the foundation that was laid was, first of all, I heard the gospel, and then it was very clear to me that I was rejecting Jesus, and I was saying no. And I think some people, like this guy, said, man, I went to church for a year and a half. I didn't get it. Well, it didn't take me that long. And that's not because I'm bright. but it was very clear. And I think some folks here, you might need to be reminded, you know what? You can sit in church for a year and a half and be saying no to Jesus in your heart. It's count the cost. It's very true. It's he who loses his life for my sake will find it. But I want to say that God answers prayers. And that foundation was laid. I recognize it. I said, no, I'm not ready. But God in his faithfulness worked on my heart. He made himself real to me. I still could have said no. But you know what? There was, I knew that I did not belong in hell. I belonged in heaven. And Jesus had paid the price for me. And I like sharing my testimony and kind of reminiscing, because it's not my wisdom whatsoever. I mean, hopefully I've communicated. You know what? I might look presentable on Sunday mornings, but man, I was a goofball. This kid on this report card, you would not expect much from him. But Jesus changed all that. So let's take a moment and bow our heads and close our eyes and let the Holy Spirit work on your heart. Because God has got good things for you. He who the Son sets free is free indeed. And maybe some folks have been coming to church for a while. And you need to know, you know what? Just coming to church doesn't make you a Christian. Just sleeping in the garage doesn't make you a car. It's pretty simple. But you know what? Jesus paid the price. Whether you wanted him to or not, he paid the price for you, that you could be forgiven and go to heaven. You know what? It is going to cost you everything. But man, it's worth it. It is worth it. So this morning, while every head is bowed and every eye is closed, if you are not a Christian, but you want to be this morning, would you raise your hand? And God will see your hand. God will see your heart.